And welcome back to another edition of the On The Board Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the mic. Happy Parlay Thursday to all. As always, joined by my main man, my co-host, William Tirucci, a.k.a. Will C. Will, happy Parlay Thursday, pal. How are you?
What is it, 30 more days until 2020 is over at this
thank
point?
Thank God. Thank God.
No, Sean, come on. Yes, it's been a bad year for the whole world, but for us in general, we've grown a lot.
Oh, it's been very good for us, yes. Correct.
We've done a lot of podcast episodes, obviously, back in April, May, and June. And, you know, we're trying to make the best out of a bad situation. We still are to a degree. But, bro, here's the main thing. We're both here. We're both talking sports. And I get to do it with one of the very best right now in this. Yep. Flex those muscles, baby. Flex those muscles. I got a little bit something. It's like, you know, but, you know, it's all good. Even though I got the gym right behind me.
I see, man.
Everything is going good. Everything's going good. You know, work's going good. Life's good right now at this point in time. Yeah. Couldn't ask for anything more, man. How about you?
Awesome, man. Been trying to lose some weight. Thanksgiving, I took it a little bit too far. I had like maybe 5 plates. Well, you know how the old saying goes, one too many and two too many. I had 10 too many. So I'm trying.
Listen, those New Year's resolutions always start every day, no matter what how you look at it. So you got a goal in mind, keep going for it. You know, you're going to have that hunger in you. And like Steve McClendon said, the former Jet who's now a Buccaneer, the gym is always open.
That is true.
And I'm like the total opposite of you. I didn't have any turkey. All I had was just a plate of ravioli. That was it. So, you know, Thanksgiving was good. Thanksgiving was good. I had some ravioli from my mom, and it was great. So, you know, I'm not a turkey guy. I'm not one of those guys that's going to go out there and have the turkey with the cranberry sauce and such. It's like an Italian type of thing with my parents and I. So
understood.
We had it at the house. So usually I'm up at my grandma's, but it is what it is. We got to make the best of a bad situation. So
ravioli, amen. Ravioli is an excellent dish. Well, excellent. A ravioli, man. Well, speaking of excellent, or should I say non-excellent.
You're doing 180 on me right now with this.
I know, right? Well, we have to do this. Well, the New York Jets, now 0-11, my favorite number, Will. And, well, it was a game that, you know, before I passed the mic to you, Will, it was a game that, you know, me and you both picked them to lose, but we didn't think it would be as bad as it looked like. Well, there was people that really thought that this was going to be it. Like, this was going to be it. And to make it worse, Fitzpatrick played and Tua, he didn't play because of, you know what I'm saying, he was hurt. So it's like, all right, Fitzpatrick back and he's going to shit the bed and the Jets are going to win. And, well, the Jets did absolutely positively nothing outside of the first drive, which looked good, and they got 3 points and the Dolphins shut them down after that. So, well, a very disappointing 20-3 loss. And, well, I think what makes it more worse is the Dolphins did not play well at all. The Dolphins played a putrid game. But, well, before I pass you the mic, the one shining, I guess the one bright spot in this year and specifically, well, in this game, Quinnen Williams is a man amongst boys.
You're taking my material, right?
I am so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry, dude. Keep talking.
Quinnen Williams, Will, the Dolphins have not blocked him yet. It is Thursday. The game was 4 days ago. The Dolphins have not blocked him. So, Will, before I take any more of your points, what's your take on another Jets loss?
You know, I thought maybe seeing Sam Darnold being out there on the football field would be a little bit of a plus with his receivers and such. And I get that it's his first week back. I get that he's trying to grow chemistry with his guys. I get that he's got Frank Gore out there, and the tight ends, again, were a no-show this week. But, you know, the more I watch this game from the first drive. I'm saying, all right, you know, Sam, he threw for five for six or five for five and went almost perfect on the first drive. And that went for a Sergio Castillo field goal. But everything after that was just downhill. Multiple three and outs. We're talking punts, can't convert, fourth down opportunities, turnover on downs. Again, running it up the gut with Frank Gore. He can't audible. I just don't get it with Adam Gase at this point in time. It's either, you know, it's his third year. And Sean, you know this. I have defended Sam Darnold to a T on this podcast. And I love the kid. I love him. But he's going to be a success. He's just not going to be with the Jets. I have come to that realization after watching that game. He threw for 197 yards on what, nearly 27 attempts. They were trying to balance the load out there. I get it. It's his first game back, like I said. But with everything that's gone on with this kid, you know, there's no confidence, I feel like. You know, he's in the pocket. There's no pass protection there with the exception of Mekhi Becton. And even then, he's been hurt somewhat to a degree. You know, I don't know. I want to say that, and hopefully Trevor Lawrence is the answer. Because at the rate the Jets are going right now, I keep on listening to Boomer and Geo in the morning. I listen to Carton and Roberts. I hear it and I see it from Brandon Tierney. And I can picture Joe Beningo's voice in my head talking about what a disaster this is, bro. Okay? This team is the worst team I ever seen in my life, bro. Okay? That's a horrible Joe Beningo impression. But still, you get the point. It's just, this team is just downright atrocious at this point in time. And, you know, we could talk about the misfortunes with Adam Gase and how 80% or everything falls on this coach. But I can't defend Sam Darnold anymore. I can't. And there are some pros in which some receivers have to catch here. But you cannot be going out of the pocket week in and week out and trying to force a play a la Brett Favre. And maybe Sam Darnold might become Brett Favre in that sense where Favre played with Atlanta, he got his chance with Green Bay, and he became a superstar there. Maybe somewhere else this kid can become a superstar, but right now he's done. And I heard it from Twitter. I heard it from the Twitter people out there that have told me, oh, how can you blame everything on Sam? He's part to blame. This is a team effort here. And yes, Adam Gase has ruined this guy. But make no mistake, Sam Darnold, and I've defended Sam on multiple accounts. But this is probably the lowest of lows. They still got to go up against Oakland. Sean, you alluded to Quinnen Williams. He played great. He's somebody that was probably the lone bright spot. Even Bryce Hall going out there, playing a pretty good corner. Now, yes, Devontae Parker had a great, great game against the Jets. But with that said, the other guys out there, Brian Poole, I don't even know if Brian Poole played or not.
He didn't play.
He did not play. Okay, so Bryce Hall was out there on an island all alone against this guy, and he was kind of physical with him. Now, yes, I understand that he caught a lot of balls. He got a lot of yardage. But that's just the zone coverage in which he was going up against. That's every game with the Jets, how bad that secondary is. And they don't have a pass rushing option there to rush the quarterback. But make no mistake, Quinnen Williams, Bryce Hall played well. Foley Fatusaki played well. The Jets' run defense week in and week out shows up. They were fifth in the league in yards, and they had back-to-back fumble recoveries on back-to-back possessions. Pretty amazing right there. Oh, by the way, they were in this game. They just couldn't get the ball going a la like Tua was going through against Denver. Miami wound up working that against the Jets, and they could not figure it out. And kudos to Brian Flores. The guy should be the coach of the year, in my opinion.
Brooklyn's own, Will. Brooklyn's own Brian Flores.
Brownsville, dude. You know, and before, I just want to make one last point.
Yeah, good.
You know, with the Jets, bro, with everything going on and the head coaching situation, let's face it, Gase is gone at the end of the year. I think every Jet fan and everybody in the media is definitely seeing it. And for Woody Johnson out there to watch this, I think he's got this in the back of his head. Adam Gase, how the hell can you say, oh, I'm taking over the plays, and yet you're deferring to your offensive coordinator during the press conference? Everything that's gone on with this franchise over the past 10 years. I thought Thanksgiving 2012 was bad when the butt fumble happened, and then that whole season went down the tube. You know, this year is probably the worst I've ever seen in my life. And for every Jet fan out there, I posted on Twitter, I'm sure you saw it. The Jets need a grown man here that's going to accept accountability. The winning thing, you're not going to get a head coach coming off, unless it's like a Barry Trotz type of coach that's going to come in here and demand respect from the players and go out there and kick it, you know, with them as far as just trying to get the best out of his group. You know, the Jets need that. And the Jets need some sort of scouting in which they could get all three facets together. That's why I mentioned Dave Taub, the special teams coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Brandon Tierney shot me down. He said, stop. We need an established winner. Who's out there on the market at the end of the year, Sean? Please explain that to me. Outside of the Bienemies of the world, which I think he's an extension of Patrick Mahomes at that point in time. But every Andy Reid coach from that coaching tree has done good. But you're talking about established winners. You know, you have a college coach, you have coordinators and such that are out there. Why not give Dave Taub a shot? Look at what Joe Judge is doing here with the Giants right now, even though they're a 4-7 football team. They've been in nearly every football game, and all three facets have been working. Why not? Why not try it? You know, get a grown man in here that's going to demand respect instead of having a guy like Alex Lewis. And this was a joke, by the way. Go out there and, like, slapping all these coaches around. The losing has become a joke, where to the point is you have players bullying coaches and vice versa, and nobody's taking them seriously. This is a group effort here in which the Jets are a total dysfunctional dumpster fire. I'm just going to leave it like that.
The only way that they can get a proven winner is if they make a trade, which will the Jets have the draft capital to make such trades. You know, I think between rounds 1 and 3, over the next 3 years, the Jets have 19 picks. 19. Well, the Jets can run the draft over the next 3 years. Now, the Jets in no way, shape, or form are going to use all 19 of those picks. But if you want a coach that's proven, quote unquote, you're going to have to throw some first-round picks, some second-round picks, a player. So I see what Brandon Tierney's saying, but, well, I agree with you. That guy is not free. You're going to have to give up some, you know, picks and or a player to get that guy. Dave Taub, will, I'm aboard with you. I think he'll be good. Because, yeah, I think everybody knows that Gase is definitely gone. Will,
he's bad. There's no mistaking that. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, there's two other coaches that I think, if given a chance, they would do extremely well. Don Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator of Baltimore. The Ravens, the past 10 years, the worst they finished on the defensive side of the ball, Will, the last 10 years is 10. The worst. They've had a top 10, and he's been there 17 years. He's been the DC for the past, the past 13 or 12 years. And, Will, I think he is deserving of a shot, without a doubt. Also, this guy, Will, I don't know if they'll be able to get him because he's within the AFC East, but I think he's deserving of a shot. Brian Dable, OC Buffalo. Will, it's no coincidence since Josh and Allen has started to being coached by Brian Dable that he's been playing well. When that coach was at the prestigious University of Alabama, who was his quarterback? Tua. And look what Tua did, leading them to 2 out of 3 championships there. If the Jets could get their hands on either one of those two just to start. And Will, I'm going to throw a third one here really, really quick. And I want your opinion on this guy, Will. I think if Doug Peterson gets fired from Philly, Joe Douglas needs to call him the next second, because I think Philly's problems are Howie Roseman and Carson Wentz. I don't think Philly's problems is Doug Peterson. I think Doug Peterson is a damn good coach. Will, they won the AFC, I'm sorry, they won the NFC East last year. They won it 2 years prior, and they won the Super Bowl. And the only year they didn't win it, Will, since he's been there, if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't have the ball go off his pads, they beat the Saints. And they would have won that game, too. I think he's a damn good coach that is getting a bad rap because Carson Wentz is shit in the bed. And, Will, there's no depth on that team. When the starters get hurt, there's nobody there to play. Will, if Doug Peterson's free, I think he'll be a great coach if you bring back Sam or if you draft, Trevor Will. To that, who's saying?
I think Sam Darnold has his foot out the door at this point. You know, throughout all the just to get back on that for a second, you know, Sam is mentally out of it. You can see it. You know, he wants to go out there and play. I think the losing has gotten to him. And, you know, he's sticking up for his coach. I mean, what do you want him to do? What do you want him to say at that point in time? He's getting paid by the team. So, of course, he's going to say that and not ruffle anybody's feathers here. But also, too, you know, when you're looking at Doug Peterson, for example, okay, you brought up Doug Peterson. I don't mind Doug Peterson hiring, to be honest with you, as long as it means that it's a grown man in here. It's going to take control of the locker room and be a leader among men. These guys are young men here that are 22, 23, 24 years old, playing in, even though they play in New Jersey, it's still, they have the New York affiliate, they have the New York name attached to that team. So, you know, I just want no nonsense at this point in time. And you get it with the New York media, everything like that. But I wouldn't mind Doug Peterson here, to be honest with you. If he's going to be accountable and somebody that's going to bring, you know, respect back to the Jets, like the Jets were back in the early 2000s and the mid 2000s and when they made it to the AFC Championship game in 09 and 010, yeah, I'm on board with that. The other guy that you mentioned too from Baltimore, the defensive coordinator, you know, look who was the Jets head coach back 10 years ago, and he was the defensive coordinator for Baltimore then, Rex Ryan. Maybe Rex Ryan has some good words and he could put out there to the Johnson family and say, hey, look, listen, this guy, I worked with him. He's pretty good, and he's got a good game plan, a good reference, if you may. So, you know, I think it can definitely lead to it, but can 2021 be here already? Like, for this team? Can it literally be here? I just want to see this team right now at this point in time. Do I want to see them get a win? Absolutely. I think every Jet fan wants to see them get a win. However, with Jacksonville being bad, and you know, it's going to come down to these next couple of weeks in which it's going to decide who's going to be the next Jets starting quarterback, or the fortunes of the franchise change dramatically. But Sean, you know, with everything going on, can 2021 just be year ready?
Well, if the Jets are going to get a win, it's not going to be tough. They have the Las Vegas Raiders coming in. Then they go to Seattle, to the Rams, home for Cleveland, and then at the Patriots. That is daunting.
You want to know what that says, bro?
0-16. That's a daunting schedule. But and I agree with you. Sam, I think even more than Sam being mentally gone is that he just needs a new start. Well, I think I could be a scout because I'm always wary of players from certain schools, number one, but also players from a certain coast. Sam Darnold has been wearing flip-flops his whole life. California kid, California sunshine, California breeze, big time this. He went to USC, big time this, blah, blah, blah. And then, Will, he comes to New York. He was the savior. The Jets had issues at quarterback, and it was like,
please don't remind me of all this stuff.
Just like, but, Will, and I said this to a couple friends, and I know you may disagree. Before we go to the other team that plays in New York, Will, this whole thing started, Will, if you ask me, this whole train wreck started when the Jets signed Teddy Bridgewater and then drafted Sam that same draft. That showed me Mike Maccagnan had no direction of what he was going to do. That showed me he had no idea what he was going to do. Not the fact that he signed Teddy and drafted Sam. Not that, Will. That, those two moves, as a fan, Will, tell me this guy don't know what the hell he's going to do. Because I know Bridgewater was coming off being hurt, but the guy won before he got hurt, number one. Number two, you had five quarterbacks to choose from. And, Will, everybody was looking like, how could the Browns not take Sam? How do you take Baker over Sam? Will, I still think, depending on which team he goes to, Will, I still think Sam has a chance to still be the best out of that five. I really, really do.
I think so, too. And go ahead.
But to me, it was like, you didn't sign Teddy to back up Sam. When you signed him, it was like, yeah, he's going to start. Will, Teddy Bridgewater said that in his press conference, Will. Teddy said, I can't wait to start. I finally got the keys. And then 2 months after, you draft Sam. And, Will, the Jets could have had Quentin Nelson in that same draft. The same exact draft. They traded with the Colts, and Quentin is a Hall of Famer-esque already, Will. So to me, that would have got me mad. Like, what is Mike doing signing this guy, drafting this guy? Where are we going? We have too many holes, and this guy signs a guy that was, I think, like 24, 25 at the time, and then he brings in Sam. Will, you don't bring in a 25-year-old who's already won in the league to say, oh, yeah, well, you're going to be second string. That's not what you do, pal.
Well, first off, to go off of that, you know, with everything going on at that point in time, and Sean, you hit it right on the head with everything you just said. But when the context of it is, the Jets haven't had a quarterback in a long time since, dare I say it, Chad Pennington?
Correct.
You know, Brett Favre for a year, okay. He only wanted to go to Minnesota to spite Green Bay.
Right.
At that point in time. So we know that for sure. Okay. Mark Sanchez, great, you know, great, how dare I say it, field general, a guy that's gonna go out there and, you know, be a good game manager. Good game manager. And with everything going on, you know, the 3 years, Geno Smith, we know what happened with Geno. I think he would have been great had he not gotten punched in the jaw back in 2015 with the receiving options that he had there with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. All right, they signed Fitzpatrick for the 2 years. They bring him back in 2016. It wasn't the same. 2017, they go out there. Who else is left? Josh McCown at that point in time. No. So I understand where the Jets were going as far as getting that franchise-saving quarterback, quote-unquote. And everybody in the media was saying that, and you alluded to it earlier with regards to that. And, yes, Teddy Bridgewater was coming off of a major leg injury at that point in time.
Correct.
So, you know, with everything going, that's all question marks. What if the Jets didn't draft Sam and they drafted Quinnen Nelson and they did keep Teddy Bridgewater in there and he did get hurt? You know, you're looking at, oh, you know, you put the franchise back so many years now by not taking a quarterback at number three. I mean, these are the things, these are the what ifs that could have happened.
Yeah, but Will. Yeah, but Will, I think the Jets only took Sam at number three because I think they were surprised that Cleveland didn't take him at one. Because that was the whole talk. Sam's going one.
Okay, well, look at the Giants. Look at the Giants' quarterback situation. They take Saquon at number two.
But Will, I think – well, not everybody, but I think people read the leaves and they read the notes. It was clear that the Giants did not think Eli was done. Like, that's everything you heard. I think the Giants saying that they wanted Sam or Baker or Josh, I think that was just smoke to trade up, to have a team trade up at two. Because, well, the Giants knew we could go from 2 to 6 and Saquon is still going to beat it. We could go from 2 to 9. Saquon is still going to beat it. So, well, I understand, and that is true because, yeah, if you drafted Quinton and then Teddy gets hurt, who do you have? The backup that is probably a bum. I understand.
Josh McCown backing him up.
Josh McCown or, like, Fitz or somebody else will. But
well, let's say if Bridgewater had a bad season in 2018.
Well, that's true.
It's nearly the same thing.
But no. So what I think Joe Douglas has to do, Joe Douglas has to find a coach, obviously. And then, that coach needs to look Sam in the eye. Because, you don't want history to repeat itself. You trade Sam. And I agree with you, Will. Everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields could be busts. They could be busts.
I agree with you.
So you don't want to trade Sam to, like, let's say the Bears. And, oh, my God, Sam, like, the next 3-4 years has
– goes back to the Colts.
Goes back – right.
Could have been a Colt.
Right. So – and that's the scary part is that there's teams that need a guy. The Bears need a guy. The Jaguars, they need a guy. The Colts, Rivers is, 37, 38?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, good.
Let me ask you this, and this is my last question with the Jets. Let's say if the Jets did decide to trade Sam, and let's say they traded away both their number three picks to get back into the top five, to a quarterback needy team, just to get back into the top five or the top ten. Do you think one of those teams that are quarterback needy would pull on Sam and 2/3, going into the top 10?
Well, absolutely. Because I think 2/3 doesn't hurt the Jets because they got plenty of picks after that, a draft after that. But also, I think what the NFL will, I think the majority thinks that Sam can play. He's just broken here. If we get him in the system, if we get him some guys that could block, some guys that could catch, some guys that could run, Sam can be a top 10 guy easily. Because, after you have the first tier, Rodgers and, Mahomes and yada, yada, yada. Well, after the first five, six names, 7 through 10, 7 through 12, it's you're talking about.
It's a crapshoot.
Right. Right. So if you put Sam in a good spot, well, I think 2/3 is a slam dunk. Like, you could have those 2/3, but Will, and it goes back to my point, Will, there's so many teams that need a guy. The Bears, Will, Detroit could trade Stafford to a team that wants to win now and take a flyer on Sam. The Colts could do the same thing. Jacksonville could do the same thing. Will, Tampa could do the same thing. Tampa Bay could say, oh, wait, we talking about, you know what? Sam, come down here. Brady got a year left, 2 more years left. After that, Sam, we're going to give you Godwin and Mike Evans. Holy crap. So Will, 2/3 slam dunk, bro.
New Orleans.
I'm going to give you Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Holy smokes. And, well, that's the scary part. If I'm the Jets, I'm like, I know the phone is going to ring. Well, me, you know the phone's going to ring. But do I trade him knowing that if he goes to a team that's better than us, we're going to regret it for not a year or two, 10 years, 15 years, the rest of our life? So, well, we shall see. But I'm sorry for you and every other Jets fan, Will, Phil and Matt. Oh, and say Matt and Jake and everybody.
Jake Gassman, Matt O'Leary. Listening. You know, I get it. I understand it. Fireman Ed, you want to throw Fireman Ed Anzalone in there too?
Fireman Ed. Everybody, man. It's just nuts.
I want to go out there and throw those guys, the people in Gotham City crew. Everybody that's a season ticket holder with everything yeah. out there in the world. Yes, throw the pity party at them.
It's just nuts, man. It's just nuts, but. Well, as we said, the Jets take on Las Vegas, coming off a terrible loss. We shall pick that game in picks. Well, quickly, let's move on to the other team in New York, Big Blue. Will, I said it last week, we're going to find out a lot about this team and a game that they should win. It wasn't a pretty game. They had to come from behind, almost lost it at the end, but the Giants do hold on for a 19-17 win on the road. Will, the Giants are in first place, 4-7. I know. But the Giants are in first place, and the defense that the past 2 or 3 years has been terrible, has been playing extremely well. But Daniel Jones did get hurt. The hamstring doesn't look like he's playing as they travel to Seattle, Will. So it looks like Colt McCoy is going to get the start. Will, before we talk about the game that is upcoming, what's your take on the first place New York Giants?
For those fans out there that are cheering this football team, and they've been in every football game, and they should be, you know, over 500 at this point in time, or at 500.
Yep.
You know, with everything going on, just pump the brakes here. They're 4-7. Their record speaking for itself right now. You know, no Saquon Barkley. Danny Jones was playing good up until he got hurt, and you know, they went up against the backup quarterback. If Joe Burrow was playing, I think it'd be a different story at this point in time, but it didn't happen. You got to give credit to where credit is due to Joe Judge, being the coach that he is. He has really, and I mean this really, he's rallied this football team. And make no mistake, you know, with everything going on, can the Giants pull off something special here like they did in 2007, like they did in 2011? Absolutely. The division is theirs for the taking. You know, Andy Dalton and company, we got to see it on Thanksgiving Day. He didn't look like himself. I think we both picked the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken, at that point in time. And we thought that the Cowboys with Dalton back there would be great. And Washington just killed it with them. Maybe you're talking about a Disney-like story with Alex Smith. The Eagles, let's not talk about them because they are just an absolute train wreck. And I know Dave Goldstein's definitely listening in on this.
I was texting him Monday. Yeah. Monday, Will. I definitely did.
Yeah, and a lot of Eagle fans out there are definitely pissed off for sure. But, you know, the race for that top spot in the NFC East is definitely not over by a long shot. And, you know, You got to go out there. You got to make do. Evan Engram dropping some balls again this week. So, you know, he's got to find himself. And a lot of Giants fans are literally on the diving board right now at the edge of probably pushing him off and saying, hey, we want a new guy here at this point in time. But, you know, he's human, just like everybody else, just like me and you. And, you know, it's just one of those things, bro, where you just look at the Giants right now and they're playing great. And if it wasn't for the way how the NFC East is right now, you know, who knows where the Giants would be.
Well said, Will. Well said. Well, when, well, it was a very sloppy game, but listen, the Giants did what they had to do. Cincy, they played tough. Well, as you always say, Cincy is one of those teams where they really get blown out the door. They always lose by like 5 points, 7 points, 10 points. It's always close. So I think we knew the game was going to be close. Well, but well, the defense, the Giants, their defense playing extremely well. They're getting after it. And Will, sorry to bring this up, but Will, Leonard Williams, something has snapped in him because he is getting after it. Will, the guy is getting sacks. When he was wearing green, he
never came close to getting sacks. He was getting pressure on quarterbacks.
He's getting pressure, correct.
Sacks.
Correct. And now he's getting there. He's getting sacks, Will. And they're playing well. And Will, I don't think they're going to beat Seattle. Seattle's clearly the superior team, Will. But, Will, I'm going to be very interested in seeing Colt McCoy. Because, Will, Colt McCoy looks like he could do some things. He has some legs he could do, you know what I'm saying? But, Will, if the defense keeps the Giants in the game, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, Golden Tate, guys that could make some plays. On top of that, Seattle's pass rush is at the bottom of the league. So the Giants' offensive line, which isn't that great, may not have to struggle against the Seattle pass rush, which isn't that good to begin with, Will. So, Will, but I agree with you going back to your first point, Will. First place is great, but 4-7 is terrible. 4-7 is
terrible. They're like the 2010 Seattle Seahawks when they won the NFC West. And they had home field advantage going up against the defending champion, New Orleans Saints.
And they won that game crazy.
That was the beast mode game. The beast mode on NBC.
NBC. Right.
You know what, though? To get back to your point with Leonard Williams, he's due for a contract extension. He obviously wants to keep on playing. And with this whole pandemic going on right now, I think it definitely – it pays for the Giants to go out there and pay him. Now, that said, I mentioned – the fact that, all right, if you're going to play, I forgot who I was saying this to. I think I was saying this to a coworker of mine. But if you go out there and you do pay Leonard Williams, you better pray to God he doesn't become Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, like he was with the Jets. Muhammad Wilkerson was one of the better defensive ends at that point in time when his contract extension came in, what, 2013, 2014? And then he fell off the face of the earth. You better pray
to
God.
His decline was steep out there. Yeah.
You better pray to God that every Giant fan out there that's watching or listening to this or even knows about Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, they'll tell you that his stock, any Jet fan will tell you, his stock fell off after he signed that big contract extension. And that's what you don't want to see at that point in time. Personally, you know, if you're a Giants fan right now, you're seeing this stuff, great, fantastic. But he's got to prove it. And I know the big cat wants to go out there and prove it. And there's something with the Giants. They always get very good defensive linemen. They always have these great draft classes with Mathias Kiwanuka, go back to Strahan, Justin Tuck, you know, O.C. Urimura, Jason Pierre-Paul. They are known to build up their defensive line and their defensive ends, going all the way back to their Super Bowl days.
Yeah.
Back in, you know, the 80s with Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks and such. Yeah, you know, yeah. But that's the Giants. There's something about them in which they go out there, whether it be their scouting department, whether it be their, you know, everything that goes on with them behind closed doors, that makes defensive linemen way better than what they are. And you got to give credit to where credit is due.
Well said, Will. Well, the Giants will hit the road week 13 at Seattle, battle first place teams. Who the hell would have thought that at the beginning of the season? Well, before we get into picks for week 13, any storylines from week 12, Bob?
All this COVID stuff, man. You know, looking at the Broncos, what happened with them, playing with no quarterback and signing a guy literally off the practice squad, playing. Everybody's complaining, oh, well, you know, this team got moved back a week or a couple of days, or they canceled their game, or whatever the case may be. You still got to play the games, right? You know, we understand that they're human, but these guys are getting paid a lot of money and trying to move TV deals and stuff like that. Thank God some of these places don't allow fans in there, because if there were fans in that building and they were complaining about it, forget it. You never hear the end of it. So there's that aspect to it. Another one that kind of like set shockwaves, how about the Washington football team going into Dallas on Thanksgiving Day and legitimately just annihilating the Dallas Cowboys? You know, double digit points at home, you know, at Jerry's World, and just making a mockery of the Cowboys. And I'm sorry, people always want to bring up the butt fumble. This is the fourth down play deep in their own territory in the fourth quarter on a fake punt. That alone is way worse than the butt fumble. I'm sorry. You could talk about blowout, you know, Mark Sanchez, Jets running into Brandon Moore's ass. Game was already decided in the second quarter. When you're close and you're down by a possession like that and you go for it deep in your own territory on fourth down, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Don't get it. Don't understand it. And, you know, that should be like top gaff at that point in time. Butt fumble's number two now on Thanksgiving. That's a joke. That's a travesty. The Dallas Cowboys are like the 2020 New York Jets at that point in time. And, you know, make no mistake, man. It's just a terrible situation to be in right now if you're Dallas. But they got to figure something out there really fast.
That was bad, though. That was definitely bad. Well, I'm going to keep mine real quick. Well, how about my Tennessee Titans on the road going to the Colts, which I didn't think that they could do because we never beat the Colts. Two straight years now we've gone into Indy and blown them out, Will. And, Will, I was watching First Take the other day, and this is so true. Will, somebody said that Michael Jordan could have been the MVP every year that he played. But because you didn't want to give it to him every year, you had to give it to Charles 1 year and Hakeem this year and this person that year, because you didn't want Michael to be the MVP all 15, 16, 17 years that he played. Well, LeBron James, the same thing. Well, I understand that the Greek Freak is the Greek Freak. LeBron James was the best player in the league this year. He should have been MVP. That's a conversation for another day. Will, I say all that to say this. Will, we're approaching a point you can give Patrick Mahomes the MVP every year, every single year. But because you may not want to, you're going to find a guy to give it to. Will, I know the perfect guy to give it to this year, Will.
Eric Henry.
He wears number 22 for the Tennessee Titans. He's a running back. He leads the NFL in rushing. Will, Mahomes is probably going to get it and well-deserved. But if there's anybody else to give it to, well, if you take Derrick Henry off the Titans, they are 0-16. I don't want to hear it at all. It is Derrick Henry or die if you're the Tennessee. No. Well, okay, true. Maybe like 3-13, 4-12. But they're very bad if you take Henry off that team, though. So that was a great win for me. Also, well, two more real quick. Las Vegas, who's coming back east. Will, me and you always talk about these teams from the West Coast coming east. Well, a game that you actually picked, you picked the Birds to beat them. Well, the Falcons, 43-6. Oh, my God. Absolutely, positively destroyed them. Well, that was pretty bad. But, Will, Last but not least, Matt Patricia fired and Bob Quinn fired too. Well, I understand the Jets fans have their struggles and yada, yada, yada. If there's a franchise worse than the Jets, the Detroit Lions will raise their hand. They are terrible. The ownership is terrible. The GM is terrible. The coaching is terrible. And, well, I feel so bad because Matthew Stafford deserves better. And I hope they trade him to a team that actually cares and wants to win because he deserves a pal.
He definitely deserves it. It's the Lions, the Browns. You want to go out there and, you know, throw the Jets in there. Go ahead, go for it. But in our lifetime.
The Jaguars.
Yeah, all right. We'll give the Jaguars.
To a point.
You know, they've been – recently they've been bad. But yeah. Over the course of time, they've been kind of sort of somewhat relevant.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know? Who else? Who else is there? You know, the Texans. You want to throw the Texans in there from there? Their time in 2002 going all the way up to 2010.
Yeah.
You know, as far as franchises that are bad, even like the Bills at one point in time, you know, they were just about pretty bad too up until now, you know. So there's definitely that. Dolphins, you could say that too to a degree, you know, from when we were growing up at one point in time, past Dan Marino.
Yes, they were bad. Past Dan Marino. Well, Jim Caldwell should have never lost his job as the Detroit Lions coach. He made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. Well, that's hard to do. That is hard to do in Detroit when you have the Vikings and the Bears and obviously the Packers. So we shall see who takes over in Detroit, which will, if you're the Jets fan and you maybe want a guy, Detroit is a little bit more attractive because at least you got a proven guy in Stafford, unless they, you know what I'm saying, just trade him away. Well, I have two sneaky teams. If the Lions trade him, the Patriots, because Cam is on a one-year deal, he's probably not going to be back, or San Francisco. I don't think they're believers in Jimmy G, and I think they want to get out of that deal ASAP. You put Stafford... It's going to be hard to, but Will, I've been hearing it. I even heard it as early as yesterday. San Fran has a choice to make. They may not be able to afford Stafford and then pay Jimmy G on the side, but I'm just saying that's a place that I won't be surprised that he goes to. Will, let's get to picks. Will, since all 32 teams played, Will, 16 games were played. Will, I went 11-5. You went 10-6, Will. So updated standings. I keep getting these one games on you, Will. So, Will, the up.
Add up.
Huh?
Those one games add up.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. So, Will, updated. I am 114-62-1. You are 109-67-1. What, Will, plenty of time left. Week 13 to make up ground. So, Will, let's get to it. Obviously, because of COVID, no Thursday games, so we got to wait till Sunday for the games. Will, let's start off with a NFC South game. Saints are at Atlanta, taking on the Birds, Will. Who you got, Will? Saints and Falcons.
Yeah, let's keep this one short and sweet here. I'm going to go with the Saints. Their defense is the top-ranked unit in the league. The Falcons' passing offense is really superb, but I think that the Saints right now, who are 9-2, and the Falcons have been finding their way right now at 4-7 after firing Dan Quinn. I think that this is the nail in the coffin right here for the Falcons season. Give me the Saints, short and sweet right there.
Well, the Taysom Hill-led Saints, they're 2-0 with him. So got to give him some credit there. Well, who would have thought at the beginning of the season these words would come out of anybody's mouth for a Week 13 game? Well, the game of the week.
Did you say the Saints?
Oh, thank you, Will. I'm here trying to get ahead of stuff.
I was about to say.
Thank you, Will. I'm definitely taking the Saints. Okay. I'm definitely taking the Saints.
Okay.
Will, game of the week. Who would have thought the 8-3 Cleveland Browns are at my 8-3 Tennessee Titans. Why this game hasn't been flexed to Sunday night, I don't know, but whatever. Will Browns at Titans battle of 8-3 teams, Will? Who you got?
Battle of the first and second place rushing teams right now at that point in time. Cleveland number one.
Yep.
And the Tennessee Titans at number two, obviously, with Derrick Henry being there, of course.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm going to go with the Browns here. I like their defense. I think, you know, with everything going on, if they could spotlight on Derrick Henry and they could try and shut him down. Yes, I know Ryan Tannehill and the other kid, number 11 for you guys.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, he's been pretty unbelievable. But I personally like the Browns here in this spot. Give me the Browns on the road.
Well, when I pick them to lose, they win. But I got to go with my heart here. They get Myles Garrett back, which is a bad look for us because he was hurt the past couple weeks. He'll be back for this game. But, Will, the one way we're going to win this game is if Tannehill throws it. Everybody in the world knows Derrick Henry is getting the ball. If we could run it enough to set up the play action, the Browns secondary is terrible. Well, again, not to do this to the Jets. Another guy that's been having a pretty solid year, Sheldon Richardson. Will, he's having a real solid year on that team. Will, so Will, I think the Titans get it done, close game. Give me the Titans at home. Will, probably from the best game of the week, probably the worst game of the week, Will. The Lions are at the Bears. Lions and Bears, Will. Who you got?
Oh, man. Matt Nagy ripping into his team. I love that, you know, after that Sunday night football performance.
Yep.
You know, with that said, though, Chicago's five straight games, they have won against the Detroit Lions. And right now their defense speaks for itself. But I'm going to go with the Bears here at home. And I think they wake up after getting that tongue lashing by Matt Nagy. And, you know, with everything going on, the Lions right now, they're trying to look for – trying to find their way. But their defense right now, like I said, I think it's top-notch. I think it's going to be a defensive battle here at that point in time. So give me the Bears, who are still kind of fighting for a playoff spot. Give me the Bears.
Well, Mitchell Trubisky against the Detroit Lions, I think he's 6-1 or 7-1, some like crazy stat there. So, well, because of that, I think the Bears, in a last-ditch effort to make a playoff push, I think they get the job done. Give me the Bears at home. Well, the Bengals are on the road. They travel to South Beach, a good time of the year to be going to South Beach, Will, as they travel to take on the Dolphins, Will. Bengals at Dolphins, who you got?
Let's keep this one short and sweet here. Let's go with the South Beach squad, Miami. Let's go with the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, short and sweet, give me the Dolphins, regardless of who plays quarterback, give me the Dolphins as well. Well, I think this one will be short and sweet too. The Jaguars travel up north to take on the Vikings, coming off a come-from-behind win against Panthers. Well, Jags at Vikings, who you got?
It's going to be a very close game. Minnesota won four of their last five games after starting off the year 1-5. Again, you're talking about another team right now that's fighting for their playoff lives at that point in time. Jacksonville right now, they've been keeping some of their games close. I mean, they were close with the Browns. They were literally winning that game at one point in time, and Cleveland found it. But with that said, give me the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, well, short and sweet. I'm going to take the Vikings there, especially at home in that dome. Give me the Vikings there. Well, the Colts, coming off the loss to my Titans, traveled to Houston, AFC South showdown. Well, the Texans, they're not out of it, but they're not in it. Well, who you got? Colts at Texans.
Romeo Crennel is 4-3 as being the head coach since taking over Bill O'Brien's spot, being 0-4 at that point in time. Yeah, give me the Texans here. No, I'm sorry. Give me the Colts. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Give me the Indianapolis Colts here. I think this is going to be a blowout of epic proportions for sure.
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to take the Colts, especially since, well, Houston, they released Kenny Stills. Randall Cobb is on injured reserve. And then Will Fuller gets suspended 6 games for the PED. So, literally, Deshaun Watson has only Brandon Cooks to throw the football to. long day in Houston on Sunday. Well, give me the Colts as well. Well, is this the week? Is this the week? Is this the week? Will the Raiders come back east to take on the Jets? Well, Sunday is supposed to rain. The ball's going to be wet. Will, is this the week? Will, Raiders at Jets, who do you got?
Are we serious right now? They're going 0-12. Short and sweet. Give me the Raiders. This is going to be a close game, though. I think, you know, Las Vegas' secondary is bad, and I think Sam's going to want to go out there and try and prove himself. And listen, we all know about the West Coast teams coming east. You could throw that out the window because New York City's closed and everything's shut down at 10 p.m. So, you, like I've been saying over and over again on this show, there's no distractions here for any of these guys. It's football, and it's going to be only football. Give me the Raiders on the road. It's going to be a close game, but Las Vegas on the road.
That's a good point, Will, because ATL is wide open. Clubs are open. I doubt players were out and about with the whole COVID thing, but still, you know, that's a very good point. But, yeah, well, give me the Raiders on the road there. Well, as we get into the 4 o'clock games, the Giants travel to the Great Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Will, battle of first place teams. Will, Giants at Seattle. Who you got?
Short and sweet. Give me Seattle.
Well, I think it's going to be a defensive game, but I think Russell Wilson. Well, I think he's going to use his legs to make some plays because the Giants have the secondary to contain Metcalf and to contain Tyler Lockett. I think the game on with the legs of Wilson and Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde get it done, Will. Give me Seattle. Will, Rams coming off a very bad loss to San Fran. We did not see that coming, Will. They traveled to the Cardinals, who also had a very bad loss against the Patriots, Will. Rams at Cardinals. Who you got?
Rams have the 7th best offense in the league, 2nd best defense. Passing offense goes to the Rams with 12th and rushing 9th. The Cardinals, they're 4th in the league in rushing. Pretty unbelievable right there. But I think that, you know, if Jalen Ramsey can go up there and shut down DeAndre Hopkins, this is going to be a no contest here. I think the Rams come away in a 2-score game and find a way to go out there and get their 8th win. Give me the Rams on the road.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals were a very good story the first half of the year, but I think they're coming back down to earth. I also think that Jalen Ramsey is going to lock up DeAndre Hopkins, Will, which he did, because let's not forget, Ramsey was on Jacksonville when DeAndre was on Houston, and they had some battles there. So, give me the Rams on the road. What a very interesting game. The Patriots, good home win against the Cardinals, travel west to take on Justin Herbert, probably the rookie of the year at this point, Will. And the Chargers, Will. Patriots at Chargers, who you got?
Give me the Chargers here. Listen, you can talk about Cam Newton all you want. Cam Newton's not the same guy, okay? You put pressure in this kid's face, he's going to go out there and he's going to not throw the ball right. And you look at the Jets, when the Jets went up against the Chargers, how they got pressure in Joe Flacco's face and how he was basically, you know, he wasn't the same guy, right? I'm not comparing Joe Flacco to Cam Newton. I'm not comparing the Jets' offensive line situation to New England's offensive line situation. I'm saying that when you have Bosa and you have all these guys on that defense for Los Angeles, it's going to be a difference maker right there for sure. And these aren't the Patriots of old. Everybody keeps on talking about the playoff aspirations for New England. There are no playoff aspirations up in New England right now at this point in time. They just want to get the season over and done with. So, with that said, give me Los Angeles.
Well, I agree with you. I don't trust Cam Newton on the road. Even though they've won on the road, Will, I don't trust him on the road. And I think, well, even though Anthony Lynn is going to lose his job, I think the Chargers always play tough at home. I think they will continue this. And, well, I am waiting to see Stephon Gilmore versus Keenan Allen. I think that's going to be a terrific one-on-one match, but give me the Chargers at home. Will, Philly trying to creep into the NFC East, Will. The Packers trying to hold on to the NFC North. Eagles at Packers, Will. Who you got?
Short and sweet here. Green Bay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take the Packers too. Well, I need Aaron Rodgers to go big, Will, because it's fantasy playoff time, Will, and he's my quarterback. Go, Pack, go. So I got the Packers there. Will, Sunday night, Broncos are at the Chiefs. Will, the Broncos will actually have a quarterback throwing the ball, Will. But will it matter, Will, as they take on the Chiefs?
No, it won't. Short and sweet. Chiefs.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with the Chiefs to go 10-1. Oh, no. To go 10-1, Will. Give me
the 11-1.
11-1, sorry. There we go. Thank you, Will. Well, yep. Because of COVID, we have two Monday night games and a Tuesday night game. The first Monday night game, the football team travels to Pittsburgh, take on the Steelers, Will. Who you got?
This should be the game of the week. Think about it. Alex Smith, Monday night. Washington's having themselves a pretty, again, 4-7 is nothing to talk about, but they're still in the thick of things of that playoff race right now. They want to go out there and prove to the world right now that they can be formidable, right? They could be somewhat of a team that could go out there and play. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, is a team that has probably the best defense, right? Right now, and Roethlisberger has a 4-0 record against the Washington football team. But however, when you're looking at it, and I can't believe this, the Steelers have the 22nd ranked offense in the league for them being 11-0. This is all their defense. They're third. Washington is fourth right now. I think this is going to be a very, very low scoring game. Upset special, Washington.
Well, this is why you're my pal. This is why I love you so much.
What?
I have the same upset special.
Yes!
I was waiting for
that. Yes!
I was waiting for it. Well, when I saw this stat, I could not believe it. The number one passing defense in the NFL is Washington. I said, what? And they proved it. Because Andy Dolan on Thanksgiving had nowhere to throw the ball. He looked lost at times. And, Will, but I think they're going to win this game in the trenches. Chase Young and Montez Sweat and Payne and all those boys. Yep. Will, I agree with you. Low-scoring game. And, Will, yes, the Steelers' defense is great. But Alex Smith, though, he's very safe. He's very safe. Dink, dunk, dink, dunk. Wind the clock some more. Dink, dunk, dink, dunk. He's extremely safe. Yep. Well, give me the football team. Well, the second Monday night game, Bills and San Francisco, Will, should be a pretty good game. Who do you got, Will?
Bills have won. I think they lost four straight Monday night football games. Right now, I think this is a close affair right now at this point. San Francisco's fighting for their playoff lives at that point in time. So, you know, usually East Coast teams don't fare so hot going to the West Coast. I don't know what it's like out on the West Coast because I've never been to California. I've never been to San Francisco. But I like San Francisco here. The 49ers have the sixth best defense overall in the league. They're trying to find their way right now, trying to go out there and trying to get into that playoff picture at that point in time to get that final seventh spot. Josh Allen, you can talk about that all you want. But at the end of the day, you're getting guys back healthy for San Francisco. So give me San Francisco at home.
Well, I should have said this before you made the pick, Will. Because the state of California has shut down the state, San Fran is playing Arizona. This game in Arizona. Correct. So you still
I'm taking them.
Okay. Good. Yeah, Will, it's still hard to trust Josh Allen on the road. San Fran, they're getting some guys healthy, they're getting some guys back, but the Bills can take a stranglehold on the AFC East with the win, and I think they're going to play hard because they know that the Dolphins, who are on their heels, have a cupcake against Cincy. So, Will, I'm going to take the Bills on the road to get it done. And, Will, finally, last but not least, the Cowboys on Tuesday night. Cowboys travel up north to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson may not be cleared for this game, though, so maybe seeing RG3 again. But regardless, Will, who you got to wrap up picks? Cowboys and Ravens.
What a game, huh? What a game. What a game. Give me the Cowboys. Give me Dallas. They're trying to avenge their loss against Washington on Thanksgiving. Andy Dalton and that, you know, that Cowboys offense can look good somewhat to a degree. They still have the weapons there in place. Baltimore's passing offense is just absolutely downright atrocious. They're ranked 31st in the league. Their defense is definitely a top five unit. But this is all going to come down to the quarterback play here. If Lamar Jackson isn't playing, I like Dallas in this spot. It's going to be a close game. Give me Dallas on the road.
Yeah, well, I wish I knew if Jackson was playing or not, but they say he may not be cleared. Well, regardless, even if it's RG3, Will, call me crazy, I think Baltimore playing for their playoff lives, I think they pulled it out because they will have Ingram back, JK back, so at least they have their backs back and they could do some things. I think Baltimore gets it done. So, well, that wraps up picks. That wraps up the football segment. Will, real quick before we go, Will, let's go from the football field to the hardwood of the NBA, Will. Will, your Lakers continue to make moves the past couple of days. LeBron James, two years, $85 million.
Can I throw up? I just want to retire. I'm tired of seeing this guy.
To extend his time. And Will, this morning, as I woke up, I saw that Anthony Davis, Will, showing he's loyal. He could have took a two-year max, a three-year max, an opt-out. He could have did what
5 years.
LeBron did and, you know, good for two full 5 years. Opt out after four, but five-year, $190 million max. Will, the Lakers are locked in. They're all signed. They're ready to go. What's your take on the past couple of days with LBJ and Anthony Davis?
Kind of want to throw up at that LBJ deal because there's only so much that this guy can do at this age, you know? 35, 36 years old, still one of the game's greats for sure, but at what point in time do you say that father time is going to catch up to this guy? You could go out there and you could talk about playing with Bronny and what the mainstream media is going to go out there and say, but I, like I've been saying, I think this guy's on something. I really do. I think all the millions of dollars that this guy is putting into his body, there has to be some sort of PED use at that point in time. And I, Sean, I know you said that you'd be shocked. I would not be because of this guy, the way how he handles himself as far as his ego goes, everything like that. He just reminds me of a Barry Bonds at that point in time. Just his team, he makes the whole team better. But with that said, Sean, you know, like I said, I personally just look at him as like 35, 36 years old, still putting up these crazy video game-like numbers. Like, are you kidding me? You know, like that. That really raises some eyebrows, in my honest opinion, that this guy is definitely on something. But with that said, nobody's going to talk about it because it's LeBron. It's the mainstream media going out there and doing it and say, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. You know, the family life, everything like that. And, you know, good for him. He's got another 2 years on his deal. It's another 4 years. So once LeBron's deal is done, Anthony Davis's deal is just about up at that point in time next year. And people want to keep on throwing out Bronny. He wants to play with Bronny and stuff. He wants to be a Laker for life. He wants all this stuff. Let's look at it like this right now. You know, you got to get top dollar during this whole pandemic right now, right? You got to go out there. You got to make your money. You got to do that. I'm not counting this guy's pockets, but at the end of the day, anybody in that situation would cash in on that deal because of what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen with this pandemic as far as if everything's going to get back to quote-unquote normal again. But, you know, with everything going on, bro, it's kudos to him. He got his deal. Again, father time, I think it's going to catch up to him at that point in time. And we'll see, but I understand it. I get it from his perspective. But again, there's still stuff that's under that's over the table. AD, I'm glad he didn't pull a Dwight Howard, because if he did pull a Dwight Howard when he left for Houston back in 2013, forget it. I think you would have been looking at something way worse after winning a championship and then either going home to Chicago or going to New York, wherever the case may be. You know, good for him. Maybe the Lakers become this new dynasty right now at this point in time, and you're going to get players there. And for the Lakers, they've had a great offseason thus far, right? Dennis Schroeder going out there, getting that – he's going to be that guy that's going to be controlling the ball. Nobody talks about Dennis Schroeder enough, in my honest opinion, just because of the fact that he's played with Oklahoma City and he's played with Atlanta in, what, his seventh year, I want to say, or his sixth year in the league, and he's come all the way from Germany. You know, the European players don't get talked enough, but they make it work, and Dennis Schroeder will make it work. Marcus Gasol, another name going out there, returning to the Lakers after getting drafted by them about 12, 13 years ago at that point in time and getting traded for his brother, Pau. Think about it like that. Pau comes over to the Lakers, and the only reason why he went to the Lakers was because of the fact that Andrew Bynum went down in 08, right? They had to find a center. Go out there, they traded Gasol, they traded away Mark for Pau, and Pau won two championships in three seasons, and probably one of the better Laker power forwards ever. You know, Mark became one of the greatest defensive centers in this day and age, and he won a championship with Toronto, and he definitely transformed the game to get more big men from Europe here at that point in time. So, you know, great move for him, and there's definitely some other moves too that I'm missing, but you know, the Lakers are definitely formidable still, and they'll find a way to go out there and make things work. And you know, I can't say it enough, but at that point in time, LeBron, good for him, but again, at some point in time, father time is going to catch up to this guy, no matter how much money this guy's putting into his body.
Yeah, well, the Clippers also made some moves. Nicholas Batum was bought out by Charlotte because Charlotte gave Gordon Hayward $120 million. Yeah, why I don't know. But, well, it goes back to what people say. Michael Jordan, the greatest player in the history of the league, probably the worst executive in the history of the league. So that was good. Well, I think the only – you missed Wesley
going to L.A.
Yeah, and of course, how could you forget? Well, Montrezl Harrell, baby.
That Montrezl Harrell,
who looks like me with the dreads and the beard and stuff. That's crazy. But Will, listen, your team is in prime position, starting five solid, the bench very good, coaching staff very, very good. Opening night schedule came out, Will. Opening night against the Clippers again, which I think we kind of knew was going to be the case, Will. Also opening up opening night, Will, my Brooklyn Nets at home against Golden State. I wasn't sure how the NBA would schedule these games with COVID and if they wanted teams flying west, east, north, and south, but clearly they want to have the marquee games opening night. So Golden State at Brooklyn, and then obviously Clippers at your LA Lakers, Will, opening night, Will. I think the Nets, Will, are primed. KD looks good so far in camp. Camps are open up. Kyrie's there. So far, the James Harden trade hasn't happened. But, Will, a trade did go down last night. John Wall traded from Washington to Houston for Russell Westbrook. So now you got two backcourts. I'm going to be very interested to see how they play, Will. Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And then you got John Wall and Harden, assuming Harden stays. Will, real quick, what's your take on that trade and those two?
I think this is a win for Houston. I think if, you know, you're looking at it, John Wall is going to be off the books within the next couple of years, right? You know, James Harden, now he could go out there. He's going to be the guy if he does stay in Houston. And with everything going on, you know, this is what I mean when I say – these scoring backcourts don't work. You need guys that are going to defer the ball to you. Look at Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, how well they work together. You know, look at, you know, right now, the potential for seeing John Wall with James Harden. I think that's going to be key. Can the isolation factor stop for James Harden? Let John Wall go out there and be the primary ball handler. I don't think it's going to happen. But for the franchise, for Houston, to go out there and get a guy that's on his last 2 years of his deal, his last year, I want to say, and then for them to get a first-round draft pick back in return, I think that's definitely great in that regard. And for, you know, for Washington, you know, a real kind of – I like this move for them. You know, they got rid of John Wall. John Wall was getting stale. Both needed a change of scenery at that point in time. But with that said, we've had on a familiar face in Joy DeAngelo, and how she said on her social media how the Wizards roster is the best roster that Russell Westbrook has been on since Kevin Durant since Kevin Durant left OKC. I definitely disagree with that. Sean, I know you definitely disagree with that as well.
100%.
But, you know, you got to understand this from this perspective. Russell Westbrook has to, and I mean this in this way, he is a great player. Let's not mistake that. He is. But he has to pull Kobe Bryant from 2007 to 2008 where, all right, we know how bad those – not bad, but – you know, if you were to take Kobe off of those Laker teams in 05, 06, 07, those teams would be in lottery, right? You flash forward to 07, 08, and he trusted his teammates, and he went out there and he did his thing. Scott, he's returning to Scott Brooks, I'm assuming, right? Scott Brooks is still the coach over there. So that's a plus. That's a plus having Westbrook and Brooks back. But he has to trust his teammates here. And he has to go out there and make his teammates better at that point in time. Because Bradley Beal, we know how great of a three-point shooter he is. The triple-double stuff, everything in his head has to go out. And he's got everybody around him now. He's got to make people better. And he has to realize this at age 32. Because he's only getting older and he's losing that athleticism. And he's not going to be the same guy that's going to be getting that triple-double every game. So he's got to adjust and he's got to definitely change on the fly. For sure, but I think this is a win-win for everybody.
If Westbrook plays point guard, well, Washington could lead the league in threes because they got Bradley Beal, who's a could shoot the three, and well, a player that everybody forgets, Davis Bertans, had the highest three-point percentage in the league, better than Joe Harris and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry was Davis Bertans, and then unfortunately, he got hurt. Well, so well, yeah,
Morris Wagner too.
And right, and Mo Wagner, right? Well, so, well, you know, like, I agree with you. I think it's a win-win. Westbrook and Harden don't have beef. They just are,
they didn't mesh.
They know that they didn't mesh. Like, it's going to be a waste of time. So, you know, I like the fit, especially for Houston, because if John Wall becomes what John Wall is, I think that's better for Harden's game than Westbrook being there. So, Will, today's the third, 19 days away from the official start. In about a week and a half, you'll have preseason games. Will, the Christmas slate is out. The Lakers are playing. I forgot who the Lakers are playing on Christmas. Playing Golden State on Christmas. And the Nets are at Boston Christmas. So, Will, the season will be here before we even blink. So, I know you're happy and I'm happy as well. So, we'll see what happens there. Well, before we go, any final thoughts, pal?
Your Mets today, they signed Dustin May, right? They signed Trevor May, a good bullpen piece. They wound up re-signing Robert Gsellman, too. Happy about that for the Mets.
And Steven Matz, who?
Steven Matz.
Yeah, you know.
You know, so. But there's a lot of things going on with the crosstown rival, the Yankees. And, you know, they re-signed Gary Sanchez to that one-year deal. Great. He's got to prove it right now at this point in time. But the main story that we're hearing right now from Yankee camp is Kyle Schwarber going over to the Yankees. And I commented this on on somebody's Instagram page, and they mentioned that Kyle Schwarber would be a great fit. I think he would be a great fit here in New York. The problem is, where are you going to put him at that point in time, right?
Exactly.
So let's say if they do put him out, if they do sign him, where are you going to put him? You're going to put him at first base where Luke Voit is? You're going to trade Luke Voit? You're not going to do that. You're going to go out there, you're going to put him in the DH spot. Well, what about Giancarlo Stanton? What about if Gary Sanchez needs a day at that designated hitter spot? You're going to have him catch? Originally, he was supposed to catch, but he's not a catcher in these troubling times right now. You know, you're going to put him in left field where Clint Frazier is going to play at. The Yankees right now are so loaded up in the outfield with some horrendous contracts, right? Aaron Hicks being one of them. I liked him re-signing there, don't get me wrong. But at that term and, you know, with that contract, I think that it was just a bad move. But with that said, you know, you got to give Clint Frazier a shot at some point in time. He's going to be probably the left fielder next year. Going to probably be another one-year prove-it deal. Aaron Judge is going to be coming up for a contract extension. What's going to happen here? Giancarlo Stanton, the guy that we just mentioned earlier, he just opted into his deal at that point in time. Where are you going to put Giancarlo Stanton for the next 10 years? It's crazy. And I get it. The Yankees need a left-handed bat. But where are you going to put Kyle Schwarber in that outfield? Where are you going to put him in? Where are you going to put him at first base? He's not a backup at that point. And I understand that anything can happen in this offseason. We've seen some crazy stuff. But if the Yankees do sign Kyle Schwarber, that lineup would remind me of that 06 Yankees team in which they wound up trading for Bobby Abreu during that trading deadline in 06 from Philadelphia. And they wound up getting Gary Sheffield back, and they had A-Rod and Jeter and Giambi and Posada and Cano, and they had that great lineup, but they just couldn't produce against the Tigers in 06 in that ALDS. You know, and they had Johnny Damon there too in 2006. But right then and there, what does that tell you? You know, if they do sign Schwarber, where are you going to put him? A. And B, you know, he's a left-handed bat. But again, you can't have all power guys. You need to have contact hitters there.
Well, what the interest in Schwarber tells me is that a trade is probably going to come. That's what the interest would tell me, because I heard before the show that Brian Cashman has been in love with Schwarber since day one. And you see,
I agree.
Yeah, and we've seen these guys go after and sign guys that they either couldn't draft. Will, example, a Cole. Gary Cole, lifelong Yankee fan, always wanted to be here. He was free. Brian Cashman made sure Cole was here. Well, I heard, and this kind of makes sense, the Yankees cannot lose DJ LeMahieu at any cost. However, the Yankees feel Glaber's better position is second base. So you're hearing them say they may actually trade Luke Voit to put DJ at first base because they prefer him there over Voit. And you can get pieces or at least picks back for Voit because he's coming off a very good year. But I heard that the Yankees don't want to get Voit because he was like a diamond in the rough.
He
said, all right, fine, let's just take this chance. And he turned out to be good. But, Will, I would take Schwarber over Voit because of one of the last parts you just said. The Yankees need a lefty bat in the worst way. And especially with that short porch in right field. Will, the guy's going to hit 30, 35 with ease. With ease. With ease. So, but like you said, okay, cool. If you trade Voit and then you put a Mayhew at first, Glaber second, shortstop, you will figure it out where you put him, because you're going to have Frazier in left, Hicks in center, Judge in right, Stanton DH. You still didn't solve it. So Will, if there is, like they always say, Will, when there's smoke, fire is soon about to come. I think Cashman has a trick, not a trick, has a trade to trade someone out to bring him in.
Can Schwarber play left field? Yes, he can. But again, the way how Clint Frazier went out there this year and has done it, and he's at cost, you know, X amount of money being paid to him, and where the Yankees right now, they probably don't want to go out. They love Schwarber. Not going to lie about that. And I would love to see him here, but where are you going to put him? That's the main thing. That's the main thing with me. That's it.
Well, the only thing I could think of, and I know you and a lot of Yankee fans will disagree, the Yankees may not feel Frazier's ready for left field for 162 games. So the Yankees may be thinking we get Schwarber left, Hicks in center, Judge in right, Stanton as the DH, and then we can have Frazier on the bench and he could defensively replace Schwarber or Judge or whoever, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, yada, yada, yada. To me, well, that's the only way that this could work if you don't believe Frazier can play left field or just play someplace for 162 games, which will, if that's how Brian Cashman is thinking, I kind of see what he's saying, because Schwarber has proven he can play a full year at left field and at first base. So we shall see.
Another thing too, you know, what's going to happen with Mike Ford? What's going to happen with Mike Tauchman? Everybody's in love with Tauchman at that point in time. You know, again, I would love to see Kyle Schwarber here, but, you know, there's other names out there that, and Sean, you alluded to it earlier, if they could go out there and trade one of those guys, or if they don't trust Clint Frazier to go out there and play a full 162 games, you know, it's daunting. But again, it's just something that, where are you going to put him?
Also, we'll keep this MI2. What's their number one need? Pitching. You can get an arm for Clint Frazier. You could get an arm for Voit. So I think that's what Cashman's like, look. And, well, Schwarber's only like 27. So he's not that old. I could put Schwarber in left. I could trade Voit and or Frazier for an arm or two. Add that with Severino when he comes back. Anaka, I'm pretty sure, is going to be back. And Garrett Cole, add those with the two other guys that's young. Now we got a starting five that's pretty good. Well, when there's smoke, fire is soon going to come. I think Schwarber's going to be a New York a Yankee. But Cashman will, like you said, he cannot mess it up. You don't want to bring in Schwarber and then break what didn't need to be touched. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I definitely see that. And listen, I'll be happier than picking shit if Kyle's here and playing. I'll make no mistake. I'm just saying, where is it going to happen? And listen, we're not magicians. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors at Yankee Stadium or wherever Brian Cashman lives, but, you know, making these deals and such. But again, it's just one of those things, bro, where it's just like, what else is, you know, it would be a great fit. I would love it, but.
One last thing real quick, Will. You're hearing now that the Yankees are not in the lead, but they're interested in Francisco Lindor. And, well, maybe the Yankees are thinking, well, to get Lindor, we're probably going to have to give up Frazier. Because they're not giving up right. That's a dub. They're not giving up Torres. Voit and Frazier may be the starting point for that. And you could afford to do that if you put Schwarber in that field, make you at first, Lindor shortstop. You could afford to trade away both of those guys, or if that's what it takes, which to get somebody of his elk, it's probably going to be that way. So, Will, fun times. The Mets are making moves. The Yankees are making moves. We shall see, pal. But, well, last thing. Gary's back, one-year deal. I think the Yankees brought him back because they want to see that potential that they know is in him, Will. But, Will, to me, when you cannot start, your number one catcher, when your ace is on the mound, you have to go. Noah Syndergaard was kind of like that too. I've got who the catcher was for the Mets, but Noah Syndergaard hated him. And Noah Syndergaard had Rene Rivera catch him every 4 days. And Terry Collins. Huh?
Travis Darnell?
Travis Darnell. There we go. And Will, Terry Collins hated it. He hated it because it's like, dude, why every 4 days must I take him out because you don't want to throw to him? Matter of fact, Will, I saw the 2010 team. I think this was in Brian Hoke's book. I think, Will. Jorge Posada hates A.J. Burnett, Will, because A.J. Burnett and Jorge Posada could never make it work to the point where every fifth day, A.J. had his personal guy. I forget who that guy was.
Cervelli or Russell Martin at that point.
Right. So every fifth day, Posada had to sit or designated hit or whatever the case was. And Will, Michael Kay said on his show the other day, Jorge Posada to this day hates A.J. Burnett. He doesn't dislike him. He hates him. So these type of things always come back to rear their ugly head. Will. So Will, we shall see what happens there. Will, yeah. Any final thoughts, pal?
No final thoughts. Still trying to wait on what's going on here with the NHL season. They say January 1st. You're hearing some teams are going to go out there and play outdoors, you know, try to get fans involved. If they play in football in football stadiums, I think that would be a great thing. You know, usually you're seeing arrangements 20,000, you know, up in Montreal, we'll go 17,000 is like the usual capacity, like at Madison Square Garden. But, you know, make no mistake about it, it's still something. But January 1st is definitely the date in which you got to see Gary Bettman go out there and talk about. You know, Johnny Boychuk retiring, man, or just taking a step away from the game, that's tough. But I understand it. You know, the guy has an eye injury, you know. You don't ever want to see a guy go through pain, and especially if it's a life decision, if he gets blindsided again like that, like he did in the playoffs, you know, you don't want that happening. And, you know, for the team to go out there and to have the contract situation in which he has, you know, now that's off the books. Maybe Andrew Ladd is next. We'll see what happens there. Definitely you're going to see a lot of moving pieces come the next couple of weeks for sure with the NHL season.
Yeah, well, hopefully they need to get it right because basketball is starting and football is heading towards the playoffs and baseball is in their off season. Hockey needs to do something. Well, no final thoughts for me. We'll see how the Jets do Sunday, Giants do Sunday, Titans do Sunday, and see what else breaks between NBA and baseball and NHL. So for my co-host William Trucci, a.k.a. we'll see. I'm your host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawny on the mic for On the Board Sports. We miss you all. We love you all. And please continue to wear your goddamn mask because these cases are surging. So please continue to wear your mask. From On the Board Sports, peace out.